Welcome to the PW Torch Livecast. I am Wade Keller, editor and publisher of Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter since 1987, and also editor of PWTorch.com and MMATorch.com and the PW Torch app and MMA Torch apps, available free in the Apple iPhone App Store and the Android Google Play Store. Download them for free and follow the news that way, or on mobile web or on desktop web. I am also host of the PW Torch Livecast. We are on 5 days a week live. I host on Tuesdays with Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, and Thursdays with a special guest. We call it Interview Thursday, a weekly live interview series. And I want to bring into the program, with no further delay, today's special guest, Taz, a return guest to the program. Taz, welcome back to the program.
Wait, how you doing, man?
Doing good. I appreciate you taking time. I know you've already had a long day today, and really appreciate, on such a busy news week like this, taking some time out to talk to our audience and, of course, promote your show also. Taz, you have switched, since we talked, to the daily podcast format, and it just sounds like it's going tremendous for you. Tell me what it has been like to go to become this, I won't say podcaster, but a daily live audio and video show host.
I know. It's like a running gimmick on the show, like with my with the viewers and listeners of the show calling in. We have fun with the whole, can't say the P word, that's the gimmick. It's tongue-in-cheek joking around.
Yeah.
No, here's the deal, man. It's going great. It's a lot of work. It's daily audio and video, and I'm bringing 10 hours a week of, you know, programming, of original programming, you know, with video and audio. And so basically what it is for those that don't know, because maybe a lot of your audience aren't familiar with it. So the way it works is, basically, if you go to TazShow.com, T-A-Z-S-H-O-W.com, you can get everything there. The daily VOD, daily audio, it's all free. But I do it live, at 7 a.m. Eastern every day, 7 to 9 a.m. Eastern every day in New York City for CBS Radio. And it's on several of the CBS online networks. So, and it's going great. And I got to say, I probably talk 98% about the wrestling business. You know, and it's the Taz Show, Body Sense and Beyond. I do a lot of mainstream sports talk, too. Not a ton. I shouldn't say a lot. I do a handful. You know, like today, for example, I talked about like Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey being put in the Baseball Hall of Fame, and talked about Lovie Smith getting fired from the Bucks. You know, that kind of stuff. Just topical stuff. I don't spend a lot of time on it, but obviously with so much heavy wrestling news, as you know. You know, John Cena's injury, all this stuff. You know, so and the Bullet Club, rumors and all this jazz. So that's been taking up a bulk of the show. But, you know, it's to me, Wade, like, it's the most, no disrespect to anybody's show, including yours, I feel, humbly say, it's probably the most interactive type of pro wrestling show, daily show, because what I do is I do different segments every day where it's not a guest-driven show, it's more topic-driven, and I also, like, for example, on Mondays, usually, I do something called Breakdown Before the Breakout, and what I do is I show video from a certain wrestler, indie wrestler, that I feel, guy or girl, that's going to be the next quote-unquote breakout star, the next big thing, for lack of other terms. So I talk about this person and talk about their positives and flaws. It's more of a put-over session, and I show video to support what I'm saying about this individual. So for me, like, that segment that I do in a two-hour show every day, I do that, I should say, once a week, though. That is something where I feel like I'm giving back to how I started, you know, coming up the ranks as a pro wrestler, you know. So that's one of my favorite things to do. And I do something on Wednesdays called Hump Day Promos, which basically it gives the audience a chance to cut a wrestling promo. And we have a contest. We have a topic, you know, and you're limited to 45 seconds in duration for the promo, no vulgarity. And you cut your promo, and that's, like, we just did one on New Year's resolutions, like, you know. Like, where's your heat with people at New Year's resolution? The show is built on anger, rage, and frustration, Wade. I'm sure you're not surprised. But that's how we do it.
So, you know what? I would say so are our direct messages on Twitter.
Yeah, kind of. It's good fun, though.
Over the years and today. Yeah, no, a little inside baseball there. Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
Thank
good.
You.
Yeah, so that's fun. No, it's a lot of fun, though, man. It's just, you know, the early morning deal, some would say, well, you're not getting a chance to get the folks on the West Coast live because it's so early, 7 a.m., you know, in L.A. or Vegas or whatever, you know, folks driving to work. But, you know, it doesn't matter. Being that it's a daily download, a daily audio podcast or daily, VOD, if you can't catch it live, you can catch it later. So thank God for the audience and CBS giving me the platform. The numbers have been awesome. Business is great. And, you know, I kind of just have my own perspective on things. And, you know, I've been, you know, 3 decades of experience as a wrestler, as an announcer, as behind the scenes guy, as a trainer. You know, I've worked for all the guys that you had to work for, you know what I mean? And seen a lot of stuff. And, you know, so I kind of bring a lot of perspective to things. And I, you know, I do like a lot of point of views on shows, you know, breakdowns of shows, you know, whatever, a Ring of Honor or NXT, or just the other day I did a TNA deal, which was tough to do on their first show. I just wasn't a fan of the show. I wanted to be. A lot of people think I hate them, and I don't hate them at all. I respect the talent. I respect the production. I respect them. I do. There's a couple of people that I might hate, but I don't hate them. but you know, no. But the deal is, I'm rooting for them, just like anybody. You want to root for the wrestling business, for wrestling companies, but. You know, I said, you know what? People give me crap because I was out. Taz, you don't really talk about TNA much. Well, I don't watch it. So, you know, I said, you know what? It's their first show. Let me be mature about this and watch their first show of the new year. I did, and I really wanted to be good, and I just wasn't a fan of it for several different reasons. And I talked about that yesterday on my show. But you know, so I'd rather not talk about it if I'm going to be real negative on it.
Yeah.
I try not to spew a lot of negativity. I try to have fun. It's a sophomoric show. I don't take myself too serious. I my callers, I don't take them serious. They don't take me serious. Even whenever I do have guests on, you know, we have fun. But you know, I feel I bring a lot of insight, and I get serious when it's time to get serious on the show. You know, so it's a little bit different. It's a variety show, you know, with video and audio. So it's kind of a potpourri of several different things. So that's kind of the long and short of it.
I know you were a wrestling fan before you were a wrestler. That's not the case with all wrestlers, but most. We go way back to early 90s. We met for the first time at an after party after a Dennis Corluzzo show. I don't even know what year that was. Early
90s. I don't either. I remember when we met, but I don't remember year.
Yeah. And so I know I know from your passion, your heart is in whatever you do. I'm curious, with you doing podcasting now, and doing it every day, and talking about wrestling every day, have you found yourself changing your perspective in a way that you can articulate about how you look at the wrestling industry? Do you find yourself in kind of a third stage, or do you find yourself almost going back to the original stage of being a fan again, where, I mean, you can't help but have had the experience that you've had in the trenches, in the ring, on the microphone, but you're also now watching not as someone earning a living with one company and maybe hoping to get to another one. You're watching to comment on it. And how has there been any aspect of that that has, in the way that you look at wrestling now, that's kind of surprised you from now sitting in the chair commenting on it rather than being part of it, so to speak?
It's a great observation, question, point, whatever you want to call what you just said. Third person is kind of what I'm doing. I'm not going back to that kid that was wrestling fan. That I don't. I look at it when I watch a show or give perspective or insight or observation on a show for a wrestler or an announcer or creative or whatever. It's very hard for me not to look at it from their side because I've worn just about every hat they used to wear in the business. So I can't go and just disrespect an announcer or a wrestler or creative or something like that or an agent because I know the other side of it. So I can't ignore that or forget that because I've like I said, worn a lot of hats. So for me, I try to give that benefit of a doubt and always put a qualifier on things because I know the other side. So if a broadcaster says something a color commentator or whatever, JBL, says something that's just like, oh, God, how would he say that? Why would he say that? Well, I know the deal. There's a good chance he was told to say that, or he was given direction to go a certain way. I'm just using his as an example. So I'm just saying, like, as a wrestler, you know, it's like, well, why would they get, you know, this might be a bad example. Why would he go into a match and getting heat on the guy's back? He should have got heat on the guy's knee. Well, maybe that's the direction the agent told him. I'm just saying, there's so many different variables, and I know, I remember, and I don't forget, and I take pride in my past. As a broadcaster, as a wrestler, as a quasi-agent at times, as a trainer for sure, you know, and as a guy giving input on creative and as a guy, you know, giving feedback as a consultant. Well, you know, I did a lot of that in TNA. A lot of people didn't realize that. So they didn't listen to a lot of things I said, but they were still paying me consultancy while I was working there. But you know, and, you know, to me, it's hard to bash. You know, I look at it way like, you know, a lot of times you'll see NFL coaches they're broadcasters now. A lot of these guys are making tons of money as broadcasters for whatever network. And a lot of times you really don't see them bash another coach or a coach's decision. They will always, I don't think they're trying to be PC. I think they put a qualifier on things because they've been in that role. And, you know, you're serving masters. It's tough sometimes. Your intentions as a performer or announcer or whatever, or as a writer, is to do the best every single show. You write every show. You wrestle every show. You announce every show like it's your last. That's the goal. So to get to that level of a high level of in a promotion in the wrestling business, you don't get to that level if you don't have that work ethic. So I respect that in all the guys and girls in the business. So for me, it's tough for me to bash. So I think of those things. So I put myself in that third person now. I watch it as a fan, but I think about when it's late in a match and the babyface has his comeback and he's not moving fast. Well, he's blown up. He's tired. I've been tired. I've been blown up. I know, you know, and I've been in shape and still got tired. I mean, I've wrestled guys as a heel when they were in their comeback. They're blown up and tired. It happens, and you can't, people, until you live that and feel that burn in your body when you can't breathe, you can't imagine what that's like unless you've done it. I have. So I can't bash a guy if he's got no gas on his comeback, you know, because it's happened to me. I hope that helps kind of explain where I'm coming from with this, you know.
No, I'm fascinated because, I mean, there's, you know, you more than any of the people who used to be in the business, maybe JR watches as much wrestling as you do or somewhere in that neighborhood. But
sure,
for people
sure.
who used to work full-time in the industry, respected, earned full-time livings, made their mark, broadcasting. I did,
you
yes.
Said, see, I had people, bro, they called me, you're a vodcast. I had my producers on the SA Taz, you're a vodcast. What the frick is a vodcaster, right? So it's like, well, it's a video, it drops, it's a lot. Stop it, it's a show, it's audio, it's video. It's a radio show with video. It's done all over the place. It's just, you know, but, you know, again, it's just the ongoing P word. Wait, we can't have the P word. Don't you know this? Come on.
We will keep it off the show when you're on. Yes. So, but you Taz, are somebody who watches, you know, Jericho interviews a wide array of people. Austin interviews a wide array of people. But you're commenting on the news of the day. So that's why I asked that question. It's fascinating to see somebody going from where you were to having to really come up with that material and express your opinions, but also, like you said, be respectful. Couple things in the news to get your thoughts on. Mauro Ranallo debuts on SmackDown tonight. Jerry Lawler stays on color. Byron Saxton on the three-man team. I heard somebody on the international feed, heard the satellite international feed, say that Lawler is going a little more heel, slanted with Mauro and Byron being the kind of the straight ahead guys. Talk about what you think Mauro is in for. It happened Tuesday, but obviously we'll watch it tonight. What is Mauro in for in terms of a difference between broadcasting for Vince McMahon and the WWE machine versus all his other experience, because you've sat at that desk?
Yes, sir. Well, I've talked about Mauro recently on the show. I've had him on my show in the past. He's one of the few guests I have had on. But I think he's in for the lack of freedom maybe not from Jump Street. I think they'll let him do his thing for the first few shows and get his sea legs under him and get comfortable. And then I do think that they'll start to produce him a little heavier, maybe. Unless, for some reason, Vince might just like his sound and his tone and the way he's selling things and leave it alone. To be honest with you, his style, his vernacular, his voice, his cadence, knowing Vince and announcing how I worked for Vince for so long, I'm not shocked they hired him, and I think Vince will love this guy, honestly. And I said on my show, I screamed, I'm like, just let him be him. This guy's a great broadcaster. He knows the business through and through. Let him do his job. Don't touch him. Will that happen? Probably not. You know, Vince can micromanage. I mean, now my own show, like, I have like a small team around me every day. You know, video director, producers, the call screeners. I find myself, I'm a micromanager. I think of Vince, God, I used to bitch about this guy. I'm doing the same thing. You know, because it's you care, your passion, you know. So, but the thing about Mauro, he's super talented. He's his sound is great. He knows the business.
Thank you, Taz. Thank you, Taz.
That's very good. That's very good. And
very,
you know,
much agree with what you're saying.
No, he loves the business and he knows the business. So I just hope that he can handle if you know, he starts getting overproduced. See, every announcer, I don't care what sport you're calling or pro wrestling, whatever. And I actually, you know, I learned this from Kevin Dunn when I first, you know, WWE made me an announcer. I came in there as a wrestler. They kind of screwed that up. And then they made me a broadcaster. And I'm still appreciative. And you know, when I got the CBS gig, real quick story, this full-time gig, this full contract, this whole thing, this daily gimmick, Vince McMahon is one of the first guys I emailed, and I thanked him.
Yeah.
I said, without you having that vision in me, a kid that is a product of the New York City school system, which, that can be rough. I'm super appreciative that you saw something in me, and he replied to me right away and said he was proud of me and happy for me and yada, yada. And, you know, and just, it was just a nice quick little exchange, you know. But I felt like I had to acknowledge him, you know. So, I mean, he would be the first to tell you. And I learned this from Kevin Dunn, what I was about to say. When I first became an announcer is, all announcers need to be produced. And it's true. You need some direction. Need to be produced because of the rep somehow, I guess because people stooged it off about Vince, sometimes overproducing. You know, people think that wrestling announcing or wrestling producing is done that way, that you're overproduced. You're not. You know, it's just sometimes, and Vince, you know, it's very exaggerated. Vince wasn't like that all the time. He really wasn't. I mean, he really wasn't. There were just some times where he would just be nonstop feeding you lines, you know, and then sometimes you wouldn't hear him for 5 segments. I mean, so that happened all the time. So you just didn't know. So I just think there's a certain, you got to get used to that. You got to build up a thick skin. He's a tough coach. He means well. But he's tough, you know, he's tough. And at the end of the show, he's laughing, he's hugging you. You know, really, I'm serious. Like, it's just like a split personality. But just because he's in the pit. You know, when that show starts, there's a lot of money in the line. You know, so he's in the pit. We're all in the pit together. And I've been in screaming matches with Vince after a show, you know, because he was mad at me and Michael Cole for something. And I would stand up for myself if I felt I was right. And he respected that. I mean, I wasn't disrespectful. He wasn't disrespecting me. We're men arguing about something. And he would love that because I was passionate. You know what I mean? I cared. I didn't just sit there and let him whip my ass and not say nothing. You know what I mean? So I just think that some guys, like, for example, Mike Adamly, when Mike and I worked together, you know, and bless his heart, it was a struggle for the guy, obviously.
Yes.
It got to a point, well, that's to say the least.
Yes.
Everybody in WWE, like when that was happening and I was working with him, it was a sellout at the monitor. Everyone loved it, right? Everyone,
yes.
Vince, everybody, except me. I was the only one not having fun, right? So,
yes, I know. You were the co-pilot trying to keep the plane in the air.
I really was.
Yeah.
And Vince said to me, after 3 shows, dude, he says to me, he goes, because I said, Vince, I pulled him aside. I go, listen, I got to be honest. I like Mike. He's a good man. He's a good guy. But I got to tell you, I don't know. This is a little, he laughed. He goes, Taz, he goes, it's the greatest thing on the show. I go, what are you talking about? He goes, oh, it's awesome. He goes, it's rough for you, but it's great. He goes, look, you got to do play-by-play and color. You just handle everything. I go, but Vince, you're not producing. He goes, no, I can't talk to him. He goes, I can't tell him nothing. He goes, he knew. He He would just leave him alone. Like, just let
him. So Vince actually didn't produce Mike Adamley because he enjoyed too much watching Adamley swim on his own.
I think that, or he enjoyed watching me struggle to stay alive.
that's awesome. Okay,
it was a little bit of both. Yeah.
One other quick thing on commentary, and then I actually want to talk about coping with injuries that John Cena is going through right now and tackle that a little bit.
Sure,
but one more announcing question. The heel commentator. I think Jerry Lawler is – I'm a huge fan of Jerry Lawler, like so much of what he did. As I've learned more as a student of the industry, observing it from my chair, from my position, from my desk.
Right.
I mean, I've always liked Jerry Lawler, but my respect for him grows over time with what he did in the ring. And yes, sometimes he was kind of seemed a little resistant to more athletic high spot type stuff, but I really find myself siding more with him than even myself 20 years ago when it comes to do less, make it count. You don't need to be doing a bunch of moves. So
that's why, listen, let me interrupt you.
Of
that's
course.
Why guys hit, that's why guys from his generation can still every once in a while go do an indie show, and a lot of guys in my generation can't.
Yes, exactly.
those guys work smarter than my generation,
money.
And definitely the generation after mine. That's the thing that people don't realize.
And I think there's a difference between drawing money and drawing a "this is awesome" chant. But I don't want to get too philosophical
Absolutely.
On that stuff. With Lawler, he was a brilliant babyface and a brilliant heel.
Yes.
I miss heel Jerry Lawler. I think when Jerry gets to be a smart aleck and be a heel and give Mauro a hard time and be that antagonist, if that's what we're in store for tonight, and I'm going based on one tweet from one international reader hearing the international feed. I've heard nothing else insider on this. I hope that stays. What's your take on – because you've been in that position of, do I agitate? Do I back the baby faces? Do I back the heels? Do I do what JBL does and have no constitution and just go either direction randomly? Like, what do you think about the role of a heel commentator in today's wrestling? I vote for it, and I'm looking forward to it if that's the case.
Oh, no, I agree. I just think that sometimes it can be overdone, and I think in this day and age that fans are just, a little bit brighter, a little bit more intelligent, to the power of social media and the power that the wrestling industry has on social media. I do think that that leads to everything in the business being you got to protect yourself and not insult people's intelligence. And I think that really goes into the announcing. So, for example, like Corey Graves, I think this kid looks great, sounds great, very articulate. Unfortunately, he was injured that he can't wrestle and he had to leave the ring at a young age. That sucks. I do think, and I've said this on my show, and just a little criticism on him, I just think sometimes the heel gimmick on air he's doing is a little forced. And I just think that's because he's not really experienced yet. I think he'll be real good, but I just think he's learning how to really be a heel commentator, because when you force it, it comes off as contrived and fake. And Jerry Lawler's clever. I didn't hear his show tonight yet. I will when I watch it. But I worked as an announcer, when we were like teams against teams, where Jerry was a heel and I was a heel. We would battle, and Bob and me and Michael Cole with JR and King, and we've had that, me and Joey Styles. I mean, this has happened, and it was real stuff because the company wanted it to be real. It was a competitive fight to see who was the better announced team. And I said this on my show, too. I think that's missing from the announcing. I think, and what I said on my show recently was that Rich Brennan, think about it. They kind of just kicked him to the curb, and there was nothing. He was doing SmackDown. He came off NXT. They kick him to the curb. Nobody says nothing. Well, have Rich Brennan come out on SmackDown. Say, dude, look, you're a new kid on the block. I used to be a new kid on the block. Who the hell are you? I've been doing the show. All of a sudden, you're taking over. What's this about? Something like that. And they could build some intrigue in the announcing, not make it the storyline, but it competition's good, and competition makes people perform better. The cream rises to the top. If you suck and you can't deal with competition, you're going to suck and go away, and it's just the way it goes. To your question, Jerry Lawler, again, I didn't hear it tonight. I'm sure it's going to be awesome because Jerry knows how to be a heel on the air. I've been a heel many times. The only time I did a real forced, contrived heel, and it was by design, was when I did the Aces and Eights gimmick in TNA as a commentator. But the direction I was given, and I agree with the direction, and all of us involved, from Eric Bischoff and down, was like, you got to be a straight old school heel commentator. I'm like, I'm down with it. Let's do it. Mike Tenay said, that's a great idea. Let's do it. because it fit. It was really an over-top angle. It was a big faction, the Aces and Eights, yada, yada. And I think that worked okay, and it was easy. I mean, being a heel commentator, to me, that's a layup. That's easy. The gray area thing that you touched on about JBL, look, and again, now I'm going to give you the other side here. I've done that, too, in WWE, and that's the direction I was given.
Yeah.
Okay, so you got to think about that. These guys are given direction. They're doing their job. So, you know, I think for Mauro, I think for him, for Ronaldo, I think it'll be great to because if you're a play-by-play guy and you got a heel color commentator, geez, that just makes your segue into that desk very easy. From the play-by-play guys, I thought they love that. They love having a heel.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I say this too because I think it needs to be stressed. When I criticize a wrestler or an announcer for something that I see, if I have something negative to say about it or a critique of it, it is not just the person. It's not just a person who's being criticized. It's everything that goes into the role they play. It's like criticizing, some character on a TV show. You might criticize, say, I don't like the role that this character's playing. You're not really all over the actor. Maybe the actor's part of the problem, but maybe it's also the producer, the writer's, the director. And so, yeah, I think it's important for fans to realize anytime they're critical, and I see this on Twitter sometimes, people be nasty to somebody on a person on Twitter for something on the air that they said, and it feels personal. And it's, I think, criticize a performance, but not the performer. Because you, like you say, very well, you don't know everything that went into it. Maybe that wrestler or commentator or whatever is gritting their teeth because they don't want to say this, but they got a paycheck and a boss, and it's their job to do what the boss says.
Happens all the time, dude, and that's it right there. So just if I was giving a guy like you a suggestion or any other news reporters of the business, because I'm not a news reporter. I cover stuff that's news, and I give an opinion on it. I don't break news on my show. I don't have sources. I don't do all that stuff. That's not my shtick. That's the guys like yourself, or guys like Meltzer, or the PW Insider guys. You guys do that, you guys do it the best. And I don't, that's not my deal. That's not my gimmick. My gimmick is I react to things, and I give perspective on things. Now, all I would say to a guy like yourself, or these other cats, just what you just said to me was perfect. Now, when talent listens to a show of yours, or reads something you write, and you explain it the way you just did to me, kind of like I did with you, now it's like it's less like, oh, that guy buried me. No, because you're giving that talent the benefit of the doubt because you don't know what happened behind the scene, and he can't say it. He can't tell
right,
you.
Yes.
He can't tweet it.
Oh,
he
frustrating.
Can't. He can't.
Yes.
So that's the deal, you know?
Okay. I know you got to go in just a couple minutes, and I appreciate you fitting us in here for a half
that's
hour.
That's cool, man. Yeah, no problem.
John Cena, news breaking. He broke it on Twitter. I think PW Insider guy, speaking to them, broke the story first, giving credit there. He's going to have rotator cuff surgery. By the sounds of it, it's 98% no WrestleMania, maybe 99.9. I don't even
know
SummerSlams in the equation. Tell me about – you've had injuries. You've been around wrestlers who have had major injuries.
Cool.
Talk about the mental switch that gets flipped when you go from I need a great body, I need to be in shape, I need to be ready for the next show, and you're thinking about your matches and your character and making money, and now all this doubt, all this pain, all this no crowd cheering you on in rehab, the question marks. Like, talk about that mentality and what it's like from being around it yourself and experiencing it yourself that John is going through right now and has been before.
It's a complete mind F. That's what it is. Because the first thing you think about is it's not the pain. It's not the recovery of the surgery. It's the fact what you kind of touched on was being in shape. You can't train. And that's what drives you nuts. Especially a guy like Cena, who's always in amazing shape. He's a big, thick, muscular guy. That's his whole gimmick. Not his whole gimmick, but, you know, that's his look. It's, you know, he's always looks, you know, like a bodybuilder, powerlifter, whatever you want to call him. He always looks great. So, you know, I talked about this morning on the show. I mean, I talked about how I feel really bad for a guy like Cena. And I know John, and he works real hard, and he's very passionate. You know, he gets a lot of crap on him, you know, from real hardcore fans. But, you know, this guy is a super hardworking guy, and his in-ring work shows it, and his body and getting beat up and injuries, you know, that's part of it. That's part of getting a little bit older. That's part of being a guy who lifts heavy. He trains, you know, it seems like he trains pretty heavy. When you train heavy, that's tough on your joints and your ligaments and your tendons. So a lot of years of that. It's good for you, but yet when you bump it on the road, now you start to fall apart a little bit. It's just evolution, you know. So I've never torn a rotator cuff, but I have torn a labrum in each shoulder and had scopes on my shoulder. I never was cut, meaning orthopedic surgery on my shoulder. Now, the labrum covers the rotator cuff, okay? So it's like a membrane skin muscle, whatever you want, not skin, a membrane like thin muscle, tendon, I should say. That covers and protects the rotator cuff and the AC joint in your shoulder. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on the radio. So so I tore that, dude, but the one time I tore it in ECW on a swinging neck breaker where me and Shane Douglas and I were wrestling. I wrestled, I believe, Sabu first, and Shane was on the stage. He was a heel, I was a face. He was a TV champ, and we did like a 5-minute challenge. I could beat you in 3 minutes. I could beat you. So it came down to 3 minutes. Shane, I could beat you in 3 minutes for that belt, whatever, something like that. He comes to the ring, and within about the first, I don't know what it was, maybe 45, 50 seconds of the match, he hits me with a swinging neck breaker. I land on my shoulder. Mm. I pop my shoulder and tear my labrum. So now this happens, and I know I'm going to win this belt, right?
Oh,
so,
no.
And I just blew my shoulder out. Oh, it sucked, dude. And he knew I was hurt, too.
Yeah.
So I win, and then I can't wrestle, but I ended up getting a scope on that shoulder. Now, here's the thing. The recovery on that thing was rough. Shoulder injuries, I've messed my knees up, blown them out, all that. I'd rather have a knee injury than a shoulder injury, personally. I mean, the shoulder injury is tough. It's tough to come back from it. For a wrestler, your shoulders, that joint is huge. Just for work. It's tough to hide when you have pain in that shoulder, man. I mean, shoulders are rough, and a lot of the boys have shoulder issues. So, you know, I'd be shocked if he's wrestling at WrestleMania. I mean, absolutely shocked. I said on my show he's not going to be at Mania. So, in my opinion, I feel for the guy, man. And, you know, but it's an opportunity for a lot of these other guys. There's all the rumors about, you know, these Bullet Club guys and all this jazz and NXT talent, you know, hopping into the WWE. So, you know, there's a lot of opportunity right now for these young guys.
You talked about the style of wrestling, and we got Randy Orton and John Cena of the same class, same rookie or same generation, both
there
out with
yep.
chronic shoulder problems with Orton. Perhaps now, the way you describe it, John might never be the same. I mean, you know, he might look the same, but he won't feel the same at 38 going on 39 by the time we see him wrestle again. It's that reality hits, and, you know, retiring athletes who have been at that elite level hit a point where they can't do it anymore. And, you know,
well, right here, check this out.
Yeah.
Right here in, like, you know, right in New York, okay, like where I do my shows, like right across the street from where NBC does their Today Show. Right in Midtown Manhattan. Now, John Cena's been there. Shoot, it's got to be so far in the past, I don't want to say, maybe a year and a half, whatever. He's co-hosted that Today Show,
the
9 a.m. hour, probably like 7 or 8 times already. So I think it's him showing maybe something outside of the business that he wants to segue to. He's a well-spoken guy. He's a smart guy. He's a good-looking guy. Looks great in a suit. He's the big, lovable teddy bear. So I can see chicks liking him, dudes respect him. You know what I mean? Like, I could see, and he talks well. So I don't know this, but it seems to me like that's something like maybe he's trying to get into and get out of the business. Maybe. I don't know.
I think I've been commenting, as you have, Taz, about John Cena and how I think we actually compared him on a recent Torch VIP audio show to Michael Strahan as that person who can transition over and appeal to guys because he's got that sports cred, but also be safe and comfortable. And I'm trying to be sexist here, but safe and comfortable for women as a big, burly, muscular athlete. But he's charming. He's funny. He's showing that in his movie roles. I think, John, the timing in some ways couldn't be worse because I think they had some big things planned for him the next couple WrestleManias. But at the same time, he can do more of that now. He can do movies. He can do Today Show hosting and really explore that. And I think when he comes back at age 39, he's probably going to be now in a special attraction category more than a full-time guy if WWE does their job in the meantime and gets other guys over, and everybody else does their job too and gets over. I think John can go, whoa, that pressure is off. I was forced to be out for 3, 6, 9 months. WWE and everybody stepped up, and now that pressure isn't there for me to be the workhorse. I'm not saying he would say, I want a shoulder injury, but you got to try to turn it into a positive. He said that in his tweet.
Of course.
And I think this could end up being good for WWE, especially, Taz, as you've talked about. And if people want to hear what you said about Bullet Club, go to the Taz show. You talked about all this stuff this week. It's exciting with AJ. You know AJ well. And I mean, it's an exciting time to be a WWE fan compared to a week ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yep. I talked, you know what I did, man? Yesterday on my show and today, wait, I was talking about, you know, like I was watching Raw and you know, and there was a scuttlebutt about, you know, the Bullet Club guys and Nakamura and AJ and, you know, Paul Anderson and Doc Gallows, all this stuff. And, you know, and then I'm like, and then towards the, I think it was the third hour of Raw, they did an on-camera with the announcers. There was a lower third video, you know, graphic. And Michael Cole was promoting and selling something WWE Network. Going to be, you know, we're going to be on in Japan. And the bell went off my head. I'm like, ah, oh, I see what's going on. Because see, a lot of, see, that's why you want to now grab an AJ Styles or Nakamura or any of the Bullet Club gimmick, make him the Balor Club and have Finn Balor, you know, get into the WWE and get him out of NXT or something more. You know what I mean? Or you have Asuka who's doing big things in NXT on the female side. I'm just saying. You have these Japanese talents or American Gaijin talents that can connect to that Japanese audience because they're, you know, it's well documented their stardom there in Japan, these Americans. And boom, now you're going to have your network. The penetration of the network is in Japan now. Bingo. It's a layup. Smart. Yes. Genius.
I agree.
So, you know, it's just, yeah, that jumped out to me right away when I watched Raw. I'm like, boom, there it was. Yeah. Because as a former announcer, I know how Michael Cole sold that, and I could see how, just the way he worked, I understood right away. It's hard to explain, like a bell went off of me,
yeah.
And I thought about the Bullet Club guys right away.
So. You can hear more of Taz on the Taz Show. It's available on iTunes. Taz, give a quick plug again for all people can find your show and find you on Twitter. Let's do this again down the line,
yes.
Maybe before WrestleMania even, and catch up a little bit there. We'll talk about that off air, but go ahead, give a final plug so people can hear more of you. You're
sure.
On a roll.
Okay, very simple, man. Just if you want to watch or listen to the show live, it's 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern. And it's everything, audio and video, is at TazShow.com. My Twitter account is at OfficialTaz, 1Z. And you can watch the VOD, like right now. You can go to TazShow.com, watch the VOD of today. And you could also listen to all the audio of today. So it's a daily podcast. It's a live show that drops as a daily podcast. So the audio end of it. And the video is there every day. So, and it's Monday through Friday. And it's pretty simple. Look, TazShow.com will bring you everything. And I'm actually going to have bunch of merchandise now. We just cut a deal with CBS and Clothesline, the pro wrestling tees, Clothesline apparel. So they're doing a bunch of Taz Show shirts. People want these things. So you can get all that too really soon at TazShow.com.
Taz, you are one of the most difficult people to deal with and one of my favorite people I deal with, both at the same time.
I don't know what to say. Thanks.
So oh thank, God, you.
That was nice.
Thank you. Thank you. It has been a pleasure having you on the show. Pleasure knowing you for the past couple decades. And we'll talk
yes,
soon.
Sir.
Thank you so
same
much.
Here.
Good luck with everything.
I'm going to have you on my show eventually, too. I want an offer to you, too. So I don't want you. I will have you on. It's just you got to get up early, bro.
I'll lower my price.
I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.
Be good.
Talk to you later.
Take
All right.
Care. Thank you. Bye.
You bet. Everybody, stay tuned. On the other side of this short break, we're going to have a very special second guest on today's program, TNA President Dixie Carter, joining us live in just a moment. And on the other side of the music, we're going to talk to her about the debut on Pop TV for TNA on Tuesday. I talked at length with Todd Martin about it. We both agreed it was more of the same from Destination America, and I think a lot of good. And I think the only stuff that we weren't crazy about, well, not the only thing, but most of what we weren't totally crazy about was sort of a carryover from what they had to do with the tournament. But we saw some good things, some fresh things with Mike Bennett and Maria and the reuniting of Beer Money. So anyway, I'm already on record with Todd talking about that show and seeing some real promise. But all of us are looking we were looking forward to seeing now what do they do going forward, because they have this fresh slate to basically create a new identity or continue what they believed in from the Destination America year. So Dixie's going to come on in just a moment to talk to us about that for the remainder of the first hour. After that, if you're a caller on hold and you want to talk a little bit about current events, we'll run over the top of the hour, me and callers talking current events for a few minutes at the top of the hour after Dixie signs off in about 20 minutes. So we'll go to a brief break. When we come back from this message from our sponsors, TNA President Dixie Carter. If you want to talk to Dixie Carter, we may or may not get the calls, but you're certainly welcome to get in line on the phone banks. It might be good to drop me an email at pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com while we're at break, and let me know what your question is, because it might be more efficient with the limited time we have with Dixie for me to bring up topics via email rather than have callers come on. So pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. But in any case, hold on. We'll get to some calls one way or the other at the top of the hour. As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called pwpodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Cheap Heat, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com. All right, we are back live at pwtorchlivecast.com, and I am pleased to welcome our second guest on today's program, a returning guest who was on almost a year ago to the day, Dixie Carter, TNA president. Dixie, welcome back to the Livecast. Thanks for carving out a few minutes here in the middle of a big TV day to talk to us here about your move to Pop TV.
Happy New Year to you and all your listeners.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year to you and your family and everybody at TNA. Dixie, you've got everything moved out of the moving trucks into the Pop TV television station. You're getting settled, running a lot of TV this week. I was really excited about Tuesday's show and to see what kind of different flavor you'd bring to the production and to the wrestlers. Have you had a chance, did you watch the show live or had a chance to look back on the show on Tuesday? And if so, do you have any kind of thoughts on how everything turned out?
You know, I have not had a chance to watch it back. You know, and I'm anxious to do that. But it felt really good live. I mean, there were a lot of things that we needed to tie up and finish,
yep,
you know, before we could dive off into 2016. But, you know, I thought everybody turned in, you know, really great performances. I thought it was solid, and I was really proud of it.
In evaluating Tuesday's show, I thought, you know, there's a few things that are carrying over that you're, I won't say stuck with, because that's demeaning it, but that were preordained. You had to finish the tournament with the wrestlers who were in the
sure.
Final Four. But I thought that for people tuning in for the first time saying, I'm going to give another chance. It's live. It's a new channel. Maybe they didn't get Destination America. I thought that you did some things that, one, would honor and get excited the fans from the past who like Beer Money and like some of the, you know, followed Eric Young and the references to Team Canada by the announcers. But you had some fresh things, too, especially the introduction of The Miracle, Mike Bennett. Oh, and Gail Kim and Awesome Kong, part of that, you know, looking
right
at the past and all that. But I think you did a really nice job, and I was talking to Todd Martin about this on a VIP auto show yesterday, presenting Mike Bennett and Maria as a big deal. I thought the commentators, you know, were like, trust us, this is a hot free agent signing. I really believe when you bring in a new talent, you want to give that audience a story to believe in and show confidence in them. I just thought that we preach that all the time. I talk about that all the time. You're in the star-making business. And I thought that was chapter one of making a star. Was that something real deliberate that you guys sat down, and I know you're very involved in this aspect of everything, that you wanted to kick off the new show with a established veteran act that was believable in a main event spot where fans could hop on board and follow his journey during this season on TV?
No, absolutely. It was intentional. And I think that, you know, the bottom line, I thought our announcers did an amazing job just letting the audience know, our fans know, how important we believe that they are and what incredibly talented talent they are. And, you know, we're very, very excited. I think, you know, they're, to me, you know, some of the hottest new age, you know, free agents out there. I think Mike has not come anywhere close to tapping his potential, and we're going to give him that platform to do so. Maria, I mean, she's just a star and beautiful, and what people don't know is just how smart that girl is, man. I mean, she has got a great head on her shoulders, And we've got some really exciting plans. And, you know, they've been very involved in how they've been presented and everything. And I love that. And I think that that's something, you know, that we've been trying to do a lot more of is to give the wrestlers, you know, we're not scripting them and giving them the freedom to have, you know, a real say in their characters. And, you know, we do obviously give direction and, but, you know, they really contribute to the process. And I think that's what has made our product better than in years past.
A year ago, Yaron, you were at the a national conference with the folks from Discovery. Mm-hmm. You're very excited about that relationship. I think you probably hoped it would go better than eventually it did, and that's water under the bridge in a lot of ways. But sitting here today with this new relationship with Pop TV, which I think you seem genuinely excited about, in great part because they seem genuinely excited about partnering with you, and we saw that with the promotion for Schitt's Creek, excuse my language, during Impact.
Isn't it fun we can say that word now?
It is. It's nice, yeah. And I liked what I saw. I hadn't watched the show before. I want to catch up to it on demand. It worked with me. And so clearly there's a chance to grow together with synergy. As much as you're comfortable, talk about what didn't quite work out as you hoped with Discovery Network, Destination America, and what did you learn from that? And then mostly talk up why things are going to be better with Pop TV.
Right. You know, the truth is we just didn't have the time to find the right, you know, the perfectly distributed network home. I mean, there were other people interested, but we just couldn't get the timing to line up where, you know, we had to deliver international television. And so, you know, it was more of a means of necessity. And, you know, I had really hoped that, you know, the Discovery involvement, you know, could have closed that gap some, but there's no closing a gap when your fans can't watch the show, you know?
Yep.
And so, you know, moving forward, you know, the great news is we had some incredible options and, you know, maybe options that, you know, our fans would have known a lot more. But the truth is, from meeting number one, you know, they had, and when I talk senior executives, I mean senior executives from CBS in the meeting, senior executives from Lionsgate in the meeting, all of their top generals in the meeting. And the vibe that I got for these people was unlike any network meeting I have ever been in. It is a completely different feel. And it was just one of those gut things when I'm sitting there and seeing, you know, different options that we had. And I was going, God, my gut just went back to the energy. And I'm like, you can't replace that. And the bottom line is that, you know, wrestling's not always a word everybody's proud of, you know, even when you deliver results. And we were Spike's number one rated show for a long, long, long time. Yet I don't know how much people heard that, you know, and just outside media. And look, I love the Spike people so much and what they've done for us. And I think we did a lot for them. But the truth of the matter is this is CBS and Lionsgate only. They have this one television network that's a joint venture. I mean, they have Showtime and they've got, you know, things such as that. But this is their one network that they have, these two powerhouses. It's a huge priority for them. And they've allowed them to create something that is so full of energy. And it's all about the fans. It's all about fandom. And it just hit me in the gut. Like, we grew this business one fan at a time. You know, we haven't had big dollars. You know, it's been literally growing it $1 at a time, one fan at a time. And to be entering our 15th year, there was just something to me about being with that kind of energy on a network that's all about the fans. And it's like, get your freaking priorities straight and deliver an incredible show that your fans at every turn, they can have a say in. And really try to win them back and give them something to be proud of. And so I'll end by saying one more thing. So a huge group of them came to television. And before the live show, we had a talent meeting. You know, doors were about to open and, you know, it's chaotic. And I was like, we have to do this. And, you know, because you can hear it from me all day long, you know, and it's like, yeah, Dixie, whatever. But it's more... when they heard Brad talk, you know, because I'm a salesperson and I'm always going to be enthusiastic and I'm always going to look at, you know, the positive and everything. But when they heard it out of his mouth, not my take on it, I think almost every single talent came up to me and said, oh my God, I feel better about where we are than I've ever felt. We have really found a place that we can grow. They're proud of us. They're proud of wrestling fans. They embrace it. They want to shout it from the top of the mountains. They want to make it a priority. And they felt it, and I didn't have to say anything. And I'm very hopeful the fans will get that same feeling. And we're really, again, the word intentional, entering into our 15th year. It's hard for me to imagine. It is going to be at every opportunity we get. It's payback. You know, it is, we have a network. They're fans too. We're fans of our fans, and we're going to show it every chance we get.
It's tough moving networks twice in the span of time that you
have. Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, 13 months ago, you're on
time slots, days, the whole thing.
I love Tuesday nights because I think it's just been it hasn't been a night where there's been wrestling. It's untested, but it doesn't have that obvious strong competitor like Monday Night Football. You're not head to head with another wrestling show. All that's good. The only state I saw was about 255,000 people watching the first show that found you on week one, with very little chance to promote what you were doing. Where is the growth going to come from on Pop, where it didn't happen on Destination America, with the time slot change and the lack of the breakdown of the relationship, however that happened?
Right.
With Pop,
but I think a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I think a couple things. One, you know, we'll be on cable. You know, right now there are probably about 70 million homes, which is probably, you know, 12 million more than what DA had. But by March, in 2 weeks, they'll be on Cablevision. So if you're listening from Cablevision, you'll be able to get not next Tuesday, but the next week you'll be able to get our show. And at the 1st of March, all of, you know, AT&T will be on, and they'll be at over 85 million homes.
You mean 850
and, you know,
or
that's
85 from just AT&T?
85 million. No, 85 total million homes.
Yep.
After AT&T.
Yep.
And so, you know, we're getting back into the range of really just a few mom and pops and you know, C&D markets that are not carrying them, and a little bit of tier coverage. But, you know, so that's going to be essential to us.
Yeah.
But our ratings, you know, moving from a Wednesday to a Tuesday. Now, we did a lot of talk, you know, pop, pop, pop. But it's also Tuesday, Tuesday, Tuesday. And you know, those are two big, really important messages to get across. And I think, you know, people are hearing more about Pop. We got to tell them about Tuesday nights. We need all of our fans to help spread the word and give us a chance. But our ratings already, you know, if you combine, you know, if you do a QM, which is what they do, just the overnight rating was better than what we did in fourth quarter last year. So, and that's in the first week. So I feel good about that. We have such a long way to go to get where we want to go. I mean, you know, our goal with Pop, I mean, we want to do better numbers than we ever did at Spike. And look, television viewing is changing. You know, from when we started on Spike, you know, there were no plus threes, and what plus threes have changed so much, now it's going to be plus sevens. And, you know, so all of, and how people watching, it's changing at such rapid fire that, you know, it's never going to be an apples to apples comparison. But I can look back at just a couple, you know, like last month and say, hey, first week, we did better. I'm really happy with that. And I mean, every single demo, and in some demos, I mean, our women numbers were triple-digit increases over what we had in fourth quarter. And I love that, because that's how we're going to grow our viewing.
With the Lionsgate-CBS connection, do you expect that there'll be promotion outside of promos on Pop TV and social media? If they get confident in you, do you think that their promotion of you can expand to some of their other channels?
Absolutely. I mean, we're already talking to Pop about developing another show. At this point, I mean, like contracted to talk and develop a show together. We've got, you know, we're talking about, you know, different events that CBS and Lionsgate have shows. I mean, they get the fact that our talents, who are so incredible, need and deserve to be in some of these shows. And so, you know, I think that you're going to see, you know, hopefully them walking red carpets and making guest appearances and, you know, just different cross promotions that we're going to be able to do. And it's not going to be about what we can do for other shows, which has been kind of the history of how we help everybody else. It's there's definitely going to be the quid pro quo that, you know, we've never had and I'm so excited about.
Question I hear a lot is TNA profitable? Is it self-sustaining? Does this Pop TV agreement, and of course you disclose only what you're going to disclose, but are you getting TV rights fees or is it a barter advertising deal? Are you paying for a slot? I get that question a lot. I don't know the answer. And in general, what's the business plan in terms of pay-per-view or other avenues to make that money so you can keep wrestlers, pay wrestlers, and obviously have something left over at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, since 2007, we've been self-funded. And, you know, that's something that I'm really, really proud of. And that's a big deal. This is an expensive business that we're in. We've made some expensive moves that didn't work out, you know, that have been part of our growth. And it's what you try. But, you know, we need dollars. And, I'm working and I told the talent, you know, I've spent more time working where we're going to be 5 years from now in the last 6 months than I have in the last 5 years. And it's always been just about like that next week and that next, you know, 6 months from now and everything. And so it's a different day. You know, I never will talk contract specifics with anybody, but I think this has the potential to be a huge financial opportunity for us in a lot of different ways. And, you know, I'm excited about it.
Where do you stand on pay-per-view? WWE is kind of trying to wean themselves out of it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where are you on that?
Well, I think, you know, I think with them getting out of the business, I mean, they're leaving some opportunity for us with the pay-per-view providers that, you know, want to get in and support us where they haven't in the past. And
yep.
So, you know, I think we'll continue to make a big deal about a few pay-per-views a year. I don't know how many live ones we'll do this year. I do want to say we have got a great live. We're one night only. This weekend, Beer Money will be reuniting for the first time. We've got some great things happening on that. So that's, you know, so we're going to mix it up a little bit. You know, I'd like to get back to four big pay-per-views a year. You know, may at some point, maybe six. You know, look, the world's going digital. There's no doubt about that. And we're going to go that way as well. But I do think that, you know, there is something really great to be said about, you know, if you make it important, which, you know, when we had so many, we could never do that, right? So it's just tough, not when you have one show. If you've got three network shows, it's a lot easier to feed that monthly pay-per-view animal. So I think if we do it right and do a couple a year and build it and really show people, you know what, it's worth your hard-earned money, then I think it'll be good.
I know we're down to the final minute with you. We've got a call at the top of the hour. Appreciate your time. I appreciate your time very much today. Philosophically, creatively, presentation-wise, identity as a wrestling product-wise, how are you different today versus a year ago? What do you want we just got an email from Kylan from New Jersey going, it's going to be on my cable system next Friday, wanting to know if Pop offers a replay. If you can address that as part two of my question, you can do that too. But people are giving the show another chance if they weren't able to watch it before or it just wasn't part of their schedule. What's the pitch about where TNA stands compared to what they might have seen on Destination America with Ring of Honor, what they are seeing with WWE, what they're seeing with NXT, what they might have watched Sunday night from New Japan, Wrestle Kingdom 10 on their digital network? What is TNA's lane? What lane are you in? How do you differentiate yourself and sell yourself to the wrestling fans?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, the replay, there is, you know, Impact Wrestling can be seen at 9 o'clock Eastern and 9 o'clock Pacific. And so we do have a replay every Tuesday night. And the show, for those of you who don't get Pop or didn't record it on DVR, is available right now on Pop's website.
Oh, great.
Excuse me. So, you know, I would love for people to go and see that.
Is that Dixie, I'm sorry for interrupting, but is that an every week thing or just because some systems don't have it yet and it's a first show?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that, honestly.
Okay.
I think that for the foreseeable future, it's going to be made available, which I think is great. I mean, it'll be geo-blocked in the United States, But I think that that's I'm really glad they're doing that for people who either don't have cable or don't have the channel, or you know, who haven't watched us and you know don't take the time to DVR. It'll give them a chance. So to your second question, you know, I think we were seen by less people this past year, but I think we did some of our best TV. I think we got back to a lot of the basics.
Yep.
I think all of the stories we put in there, there wasn't filler, there wasn't squashes, there was no, you know, everything had a purpose. And it's not easy to do that, and especially when you're short-staffed like we are. We don't have the giant, you know, staff that other people have the luxury of. And so it takes a lot of effort and a lot of hard work. But I'm really proud of our team for attempting to make everything. Now, not everybody's going to like everything we do, obviously. But you can't deny the fact that we've attempted to have things have meaning and purpose. And I think that's the most important thing you can do. And so I think in how we're approaching it is we're going to continue to build off of what we're doing different. You know, we're going to mix this year up. We're going to have some live shows, but we're also going to do some tape stuff because we like being able to send cameras to different places. You know, for years and years, and you've been to enough backstage shows to say, you know, such great stuff that happens organically all the time. It's like, God, where's the camera when you need it? Or, oh my God, this is better than anything you could write for TV. We're going to try to create more and more of that, but that takes a lot of effort. It takes flights, and it takes travel, and it takes location shoots, and it takes editing. But I think it's going to continue to differentiate our product. So when we're telling stories, I just really feel like where we're at, the more organic these stories can come from the wrestlers themselves, for them to feel them, for them to be their character, and some of them are very real to life. You know, I think that's going to give us our best storytelling. So I personally feel like we have the best in-ring action. And I'll tell you, I think there were times when we didn't. You know, I think our in-ring action has always been superb, or I don't think we'd still be in business today. But there have been times where it's not been as strong as it could have been. And I think our in-ring action is outstanding. I would put our roster up against any roster in the world. And I think with our focus on storytelling, making it as real as we can make it, as organic as we can make it, letting the guys have a real, you know, input into how they share this voyage we're taking, you know, our fans on, I think that's where we'll continue to focus our efforts.
What stuck with me is you saying back to the basics, and I think that is something that people who didn't give TNA a chance on Destination America or just didn't have access to it and kind of lost track of it, I think that's something that happened. I think you guys went back to the basics. I think what was old is new again, and I like watching.
Totally agree.
You give people a reason to cheer for someone, you give people a reason to boo someone, and you make the title seem important, and you have the climax isn't an argument, it's a fight to get a three count or a tap out. And when that's the fundamentals, I think it makes everything so much easier. And that's what I saw last year, and I saw it on Tuesday, and that's the aspect that I really liked what I saw. So I like the new video wall.
And let me, I'll finish this really quick.
Yeah.
Really quick.
Yes.
When you talk about the focus on the title, that is also going to be an incredibly intentional goal of ours this year, to make the titles mean something. Good. To focus on the tag titles. We're back in the tag team title business in a big way. I'm excited where that's going. Our knockouts division is the best female wrestlers, bar none, in the world. We've got some incredible new talent that are going to be, you know, premiered in the coming weeks that are just going to continue to make that an exciting place to turn. And, you know, and really trying to focus more on the X division, finding those guys that can keep it at the level that people expect. And putting some intention behind that as well. And, you know, look, we're trying hard. And I hope we earn enough of people's time and to give us a chance. And I think if they do, they'll be very happy with the time that they've invested in us.
Dixie, no matter what anybody says about TNA, the product, or you, and when you're a public figure, you're going to get a lot of it, there's nothing anybody can say credible that counters your enthusiasm, dedication to making this project work, making this business work, and believing in it. And you, like you said earlier, you're a salesperson, you're going to be enthusiastic, but it's genuine. It's not BS. And you are absolutely, I think, creating a contagious situation for people who want to support TNA and like it. And with Pop TV and the ability now to watch the show at their website, if they missed it on Tuesday or forgot about it, that's good to know. I encourage people to check it out. I liked the video wall on the intro set. I liked that it was well lit. It felt major league, but at the same time more intimate than a giant arena that didn't always work well, I think, with the lighting and with the stage that you're
right.
at. So congrats on that. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
I know you got to go. Happy New Year.
I wish I didn't have to, Wade. Thank you so much for having me, and
yeah.
Happy to come back anytime.
Excellent. We'll have you on again, and good luck with everything, and congratulations on the new time slot.
Thank you so much. Talk soon.
All right, that Bye-bye. Is Dixie Carter, president of TNA. So glad you could join us here. A big doubleheader on the program. It was absolutely wonderful having Dixie on. I mean what I say. I haven't been very critical of TNA over the past year because I don't think that they put themselves out there with some of the tired cliches from the post-attitude era where there's some bad habits and stupid habits and hot-shotting. And I was critical of TNA at times when there was like this it felt dirty sometimes, the way that women talked about each other, skank and slut, and I thought that there was an attitude behind the scenes with creative sometimes that goes very much against, I think, Dixie's own personality, which was, well, there's a bunch of guys at home, and all they want to do is see women just be nasty to each other and all that. I didn't like that era. I didn't like when it was all rehash guys who someone would tune in and go, that's a bunch of ex-WWE guys. There's probably a reason they're not there. If I watch long enough, I'll find out why, and then I'll be bored with the product. And I thought TNA for too long was trying to do, we're going to be a derivative second coming of WCW, or we're going to use WWE's cast-offs and pretend the reason they're not there anymore it wasn't important. And often it was, because they had limitations or baggage. I think TNA has worked hard. EC3's been a big part of it. I'm a fan of his act. I'm a fan of his interviews and his persona. And Gail Kim and the Knockouts division, they were the top women's division before NXT in terms of national television exposure. Before the Divas Revolution, there were the Knockouts. And that's true. And TNA has a tough act to compete with now. But there's not enough time on Raw or NXT to feature and pay all the good women wrestlers who are out there. So I think they've got a chance. Todd Martin and I talked about it on the Fix with Todd Martin, a special 3-hour edition yesterday of the Fix with Todd Martin. So many stories to cover and talk about, and Todd is just brilliant. He is excellent at what he does, and it was just a tremendous conversation with him talking about New Japan World Kingdom 10, walking through every match. Todd knows that company and that promotion inside and out. Great analysis of every match, top to bottom. We talked about the Bullet Club and the signings of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura and Carl Anderson and Doc Gallows. And then also talked about the ramifications on WWE and storyline-wise, where they might fit in. Where might Samoa Joe fit in? Where might Daniel Bryan come into the equation? And then we reviewed Raw and the Vince McMahon referee storyline and where things are going from here, all before we heard about the John Cena injury. And then we reviewed TNA, the live special on Pop TV, and so much more. And then right as we're wrapping up the show, 2 hours, 45 minutes into it, and I broke this into three parts so it was manageable to listen to for our VIP members, the news came in. John Cena, serious shoulder injury, out, having surgery today, I believe. So we talked about that for about 15 minutes. So if you're not a VIP member, this is seriously, genuinely, a crazy start to the new year in so many ways that play right into what we at The Torch do very, very well for 28 years. As the mediums have changed from print newsletter only to hosting a radio show on KFAN in the 90s to doing a 900 number when there was no other way to get information to people on a quick instant basis to the online membership world where so many people have followed suit. We in there had email, we had called it VIP Email Express back before we had a VIP login site for members and subscribers. We sent email reports out right after pay-per-views and all that. And I mean, it's been one thing. Apps, we're the leader in pro wrestling app coverage. And now we're the leader in pro wrestling journalism and analysis as a 5-day-a-week call-in show. We've been on the air over 6 years. All of that. And I don't know that we've had a busier week than now. I mean, this is absolutely incredible with everything going on. Haven't had a chance to even watch NXT last night. They're getting into their new season after a best of show to end the year. So much going on, and it was great having Taz on to talk about two big stories. Tonight, SmackDown, Mauro Ranallo, and a new Jerry Lawler. Got another tweet just now, someone in Canada watching who was able to watch the show and said that Jerry Lawler seems refreshed and reinvigorated in his new role. I'm really looking forward to hearing that and commenting on that on tomorrow's VIP Wade Keller hotline for VIP members, and having Dixie Carter on to talk about this Pop TV relationship. You know, we'll continue to watch these numbers and continue to watch the relationship develop. I believe her that she believes this is a better situation than with Destination America. And I hope that they're around in 3 years and in 5 years, like she's talking about. But they have some big corporate backing of the Pop TV network and high expectations, but a low floor to be acceptable relative to the other audiences that that Pop TV is getting. So we'll continue to cover the business side of that also. If you're not a VIP member, go VIP, and you can check out details. I'm not going to give a long plug here because I want to get to a couple calls before we wrap up, or more than a couple calls, hopefully, before we wrap up here. But if you're not a VIP member, really, really, really is a great time to sign up. $10 gets you in for a full month. You not only get the new content every day, which is two or three new audio shows, the Everyday Wade Keller Hotline, the Weekly Fix with Todd and Martin, and the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host all of them. So I every day for over 5 years, I think going on 6 years now, close to 6 years. I've done the Wade Keller Hotline every day, no day off. If there's breaking news, there is a podcast waiting for you with my take on it. And today, by the way, the Wade Keller Hotline, tons of behind-the-scenes details on what's going on with the New Japan situation, how TNA fits into it, by the way, and how they've played a role in how this is shaking out, who is coming, when they debut, what the plans are for AJ Styles and others, and some speculation, but informed speculation, on where things are going with Roman Reigns, why the Royal Rumble stipulation was added with him being put in it with the title on the line, some scenarios for WrestleMania, what if Daniel Bryan is cleared? He said on Twitter today he wants to be cleared. What if Finn Balor's promoted? What if they're in a group or not? How about Shinsuke Nakamura? Where does he fit in? I gave a couple scenarios that seem to make sense based on what I'm hearing, and I look at the possible Fastlane and WrestleMania lineup. That's in a 24-minute Wade Keller Hotline I recorded right before the show. That's the kind of thing as a VIP member that you get every day as news breaks. I'm there on the phone, on email, on direct messaging, on texting, getting details, and I've covered this business 28 years, adding that perspective to it. And I love hosting the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show, The Fix with Todd Martin, and the Tuesday live cast, and the VIP exclusive after show with Jason Powell. Three veteran, respected, top shelf analysts that I have the pleasure to talk to, bounce ideas off of, and discuss wrestling in a friendly way, where it's enjoyable and entertaining to listen to. We laugh, but we also get serious and we take a hard look at the industry when it's called for. And there's so many other shows, plus 10 years ago VIP audio shows, taking you behind the scenes on what was going on with John Cena as he started to get booed. That's the current topic going into the Royal Rumble 2006. And we put 10 years ago audio shows up throughout the month to give you some insider perspective on maybe a time when you were a fan but didn't know about the torch. And then we also have our old radio shows from the early 90s, Pro Wrestling Spotlight out in New York, big time guests, call in format. I'm a guest often with the host John Arezzi. We really span things. Plus, text, ad-free access to our text articles, our featured articles, TV coverage, pay-per-view reports, and all that. Ad-free access on our VIP website, which is mobile-friendly. When you go VIP, you never have to see another ad again to get everything that we do with the torch. This ad that I'm giving is taken out when we post the show for VIP members. Advertisements are not part of the VIP version of the live cast. So if you're tired of running into ads during the show, $10 a month gets you ad-free access to this show on an RSS feed, friendly on your phone or iTunes, or you can stream it right within our ad-free VIP website, plus all the other VIP exclusive shows, access to our archives of thousands of audio shows and interviews, and access to 28 years of the Pro Wrestling Torch weekly newsletter in PDF and article text format, and a new newsletter every week with exclusive content. My end notes this week, I wrote about the Bullet Club and Nakamura and how that all might fit in my end notes column, and the cover story, roundtable reviews from Torch staff on the Wrestle Kingdom 10 pay-per-view with a 1-10 score, and essays reviewing different aspects of the show, columns every week from Bruce Mitchell and Greg Parks, news of the week, and so much more. It's a huge, huge package that you get as a VIP member. It is the best way to follow, study, understand, and enjoy professional wrestling. We don't tell you just what's happening. We tell you why. Check it out, pwtorch.com/govip. Let's now go to the phone lines and have some conversation about all this news that I am talking about. And we're going to begin with Ryan first, calling via Skype. And then after that, we'll go to 813 and 718. Ryan, thanks for holding. And go ahead with tell us what city you're calling from and your question or comment today.
England. Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm in England.
Thanks for calling.
First word, I can't believe you didn't retweet that picture of me with the Color Club t-shirt on.
Oh, you know, I favored it, but I didn't tweet it.
Yeah, no retweet.
Oh, well, I'll go find that and do it, because I certainly intended to.
Anyway, so I had a question for Taz, obviously. As I've been waiting and listening, a few things have come up on my feed, on my Facebook and stuff like that. The first one is how crazy that every single champion from last year's WrestleMania All Out. So you've got John Cena, United States champion, Nikki Bella, the Divas champion, Daniel Bryan, Intercontinental, the tag team champions, Cesaro and Kidd, and then Seth Rollins, all of them out from last year.
Yes.
And then the chances of Triple H winning the Royal Rumble, and just seeing a thing saying that WWE have bought the rights to the Bullet Club name as well.
I don't think Ryan, I don't think they're going to buy the Bullet Club name. Right now, the copyright is not held by WWE, even though they're talking about it. I think they're going to want to come up with their own name. I don't know if it would be Balor Club with Finn Balor as the leader. I don't know how AJ Styles would feel about that, but Balor has some seniority, I guess, at this point. But I think they can come up with another faction name, but the spirit is there. You know, there was the NWO, and then there was DX, and a lot of people know DX and see it as an equal to the NWO. I'm not hung up on that, and I also think just Bullet Club, it's possible with current events, what President Obama just talked about earlier this week. I'm not sure WWE even wants to get in the business of promoting merchandise with the word Bullet on it or Bullet Club. I think that's dangerous territory. I think it's something they have to think about. Even if it doesn't bother you and you think it's lame, from a corporate perspective, I do understand they look at the options and go, well, it'd be nice to use the name that so many people know, but does it give us headaches and can we come up with another name that'll work, you know, pretty well and serve our purpose? Mostly I'm hung up on the talent, not the name of the group and how they're promoted. I think that's what counts most. I talked at length, Ryan, on the Wade Keller Hotline in 24 minutes earlier this afternoon before the live cast with Taz and Dixie Carter about Triple H and the Royal Rumble. I don't want to repeat it at length here. I think it's a possibility, but I think it's more likely a different scenario happens with him. But I wouldn't rule it out at this point. But I'm saying it sounds like I'm hedging, but I think what we saw with what happened on Monday is more to avoid there being a challenger other than Triple H winning the Rumble, so that Reigns can win, and then the number one contender is what's the question mark. But there's other scenarios too, and I think that's dangerous because it could also backfire. Reigns winning the Rumble, if that happens, could be a devastating scene for WWE visually if the fans reject it. Okay, up next, I said 813, and then on deck 718. 813, thanks for calling. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
Hey, Wade, it's Jay from Tampa. How you doing?
Doing good. Good to hear from you, Jay.
And likewise.
Yeah.
Hey, I was just wondering, with the return of Sami Zayn, one thing I like that NXT, I guess it is, did with Sami Zayn, among others, is they've left so many roads to go down still there, as far as we kind of talk about with WWE and the importance of journeys and following up. I always think about Sami because it still has that, you know, it still seems like there's some heat between him and Kevin Owens that was never complete. I know they keep talking about him and keep re-showing on the network about the open challenge with John Cena, so I don't know if they're going to revisit that or not, as well as the Deo Itami attack. So it's a lot of things going on there. My question is, more so is, with the return of Sami Zayn, do you think they'll keep him in back in the NXT fold, or do you think they'll kind of do a quick run with that and hurry and transition him over into the main roster, at least by either at the Rumble or WrestleMania.
Yeah, who are you talking about in the last part of your question?
Sami Zayn.
Oh, Sami Zayn, yeah, okay. I think it's weird, but Sami could be the big loser in what's going on right now, and I hate to say it, but I think Sami was heir apparent to the slot that Daniel Bryan had. And if Daniel Bryan couldn't come back, Sami, I think, made a good impression early on. It doesn't help to get injured right away. That's a bad impression, but it, 'cause it plays against your durability, and it can, you know, that can stay with you in WWE, fair or unfair. But he has a track record in NXT of doing great, great work. I'm a huge, huge fan of his potential to draw big money, sell T-shirts, be, quote, the next Daniel Bryan and fit that category. But I'm a little concerned that he ends up getting a little bit lost in the shuffle with now Finn Balor maybe leapfrogging him to the main roster. And I love Finn Balor too, so I'm not like even taking sides on that. But because of the Bullet Club tie-in with AJ Styles and Gallows and Anderson, I think there's a chance now that Sami gets pushed back a little bit so that he doesn't get featured at a time when AJ's also getting featured. Because I think AJ, while he's older than Sami, actually older than Daniel Bryan, he has a different vibe in some ways, but he's still that undersized, hardworking guy with the credibility, with similar credibility in the ring AJ and Sami have with the same group of fans. So to me, I think Sami maybe gets pushed out a little bit and his main roster debut gets pushed back. I'm hoping they don't just put him in the Rumble just to satisfy Sami fans, but he doesn't really have a role. He gets thrown out, and the finish is more about Roman Reigns and the Bullet Club and whoever else. So I'm a little nervous as far as that goes, but if he's going to get lost in the shuffle, I say stay in NXT 6 more months, and then after WrestleMania, or even a little bit later, be one of the guys they bring in once all these other new guys are kind of established, but before Seth Rollins and John Cena and Randy Orton come back, and Cesaro for that matter, and crowd out the space for a Sami Zayn. So that's kind of my take on it. Jay, in your comments, was there another question in there, or did I cover it?
That was one more question real quick, and thank you again for your contributions, and I'm enjoying being a VIP member.
Oh, thank you very much. Appreciate your business.
No, my pleasure. One last question here, as a segue a little bit in from that, is with Roman Reigns, should he, I know it's a very competitive industry, but definitely at this point with all the new signings, how concerned should Roman Reigns be with his position at this point? And have a good night.
Okay, thank you very much. I don't think Roman, well, I think Roman should always be nervous, because I think being a little more nervous and a little bit less cocky would probably serve him well and would have served him well a year ago, because I don't think anybody's preordained, no matter how much certain people have your back, as he put it privately, but I heard about it a year ago, where he was just sure this is going to work out and he's going to do what he's told, get rich and be the top star because, hey, look at me. And it didn't work out. I'm not saying he's a bad guy, but I'm saying he didn't have the right attitude for what is historically a very rocky road for almost everybody. And so I think Roman should always be nervous. But right now, he still is the centerpiece part of Vince McMahon's plans. And for that matter, because he's going to probably wrestle Triple H, he's going to be featured heavily. So Roman still needs to get better, still needs to get more natural. As Mick Foley said, stop smirking. As you know, listen to Steve Austin and his comments. Listen to Jim Ross on this show and Jim Ross's comments. It's not just me, saying there's some things here that is contributing to the crowd reaction. And don't play the victim card. Don't talk about how you're being bullied by fans. When you're a star the caliber of Roman Reigns on national television, wanting people to pay to see you, it's not bullying if they don't want to pay to see you. It is a consumer choice. And fans in WWE have a chance to vocalize it in a way that you don't vocalize. I don't like Kmart. I like Walmart. I don't like Kohl's. I like Sears. You just stop going. But that's not bullying Sears if you choose Kohl's. That's not bullying. And Roman said that, and I kind of rolled my eyes and groaned a little bit. I just think there's this aura of entitlement, or my God, look around, who else could be the guy? And it comes through. And a certain part of the fan base gets it. Obviously, there's women who swoon after him and kids who love him and guys who think he's a star. And he's not by any means flaming out as a complete utter failure, but he's not where he should be with the type of effort in terms of featured matches with Daniel Bryan and Brock Lesnar and the TV time he's getting and the interaction with Vince. If he was the guy they needed, ratings would be better, and he'd be getting a better crowd reaction. and it's not there. So something's missing. So I think he should be nervous for that reason. But I don't think, Jay, that he's at a point where he should be thinking, well, they're making plans for life without me or after me because they're bringing in AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't think in that sense that this changes anything. I think the John Cena injury, while it does shake things up and open up space for other guys to get over like Daniel Bryan did or CM Punk did unexpectedly, so to speak, I still think that Roman now is more needed to get over, and Vince will push even harder to try to make it happen, for better or for worse. All right, up next, 718, and then after that, 915. 718, please state your name and where you're calling from.
Hey, this is Romeo from New York City.
Hey, Romeo, thanks for calling. What have you got for me today?
I wanted to ask you, do you think WWE is going to look bad if they clear Daniel Bryan after John Cena's injury, or do you think they have to stick to their guns?
I think they will look bad, and I think that if the idea was Daniel Bryan's ready to come back, we like the test results we've seen, but we don't want him in the Rumble because it'll ruin what we're trying to do with whatever the plans were for Roman Reigns. I get people being upset about it, but if you stipulate Vince McMahon is determined to get Roman over, it's crazy to put Daniel Bryan in that match. It just is. You don't want Daniel Bryan to be the guy everybody wants to see, and they reject Roman again. So as much as it seems unfair, and as much as you would say, well, if that's a problem, just push Daniel Bryan and not Roman, if you stipulate to the fact that Vince is determined to headline WrestleMania with Roman Reigns as champion or challenging for the belt, you can't put Daniel Bryan back. But to say it's due to a concussion and to be using that as the excuse, that's the part that I disagree with. I think you go to Daniel Bryan, and clearly from his tweet today, this is not a conversation they've had. You go to Daniel Bryan, and you go, hey, we like your last test results. We've sat you out long enough. Our doctor is saying there's enough improvement. We feel safe putting you out there. Here's a few parameters on your ring style you have to agree to. So we're clearing you for February. But we're not clearing you for January, because between you and I, we are trying to get Roman over, and you will mess that up. I think they should just be honest and upfront about it. But they weren't, because Daniel Bryan is saying, please clear me, on Twitter today. So that conversation didn't happen. I don't know that Bryan's doing himself favors, but I can totally understand him sitting around going, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of Bullet Club, AJ Styles, and Shinsuke Nakamura, and whatever else happened. I mean, he is excited by what he's seeing. I'm sure he'd love to have a program with Kevin Owens and a program with so many guys who are coming in. So it's frustrating for him. If he gets cleared and comes back after the Rumble, people will speculate that they were holding him out only because of Roman. And maybe it's true. But I also think, as many conspiracy theories as there have been over the years with WWE, some have been true, some have been not. I do think WWE is in the concussions movie just came out. Daniel Bryan has a serious issue with this. I don't blame them for being cautious. It's bad fortune for Bryan and his fans that the timing of it was when it came. Although it might be good, because maybe this is actually protecting him from having some real mental
90 seconds.
Debilitating mental conditions by the time that he gets into his 50s or 60s. I don't know. I haven't seen the tests, Romeo, but I hope that I hope that Daniel Bryan is well enough to clear. And if he comes back in February, let's just be happy about it. I think it would be suicide for Roman Reigns' push to put him in the Rumble no matter what. Romeo, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep, appreciate the call. All right, 915, you are up next. Please state your name and the city you're calling from.
60 seconds.
Hey, this is Christian from Maryland, first-time caller.
Christian, good to hear from you. Thank you for calling. Thanks for giving us a chance. How'd you hear about our show?
I believe the first time I heard it was through Steve Austin's podcast.
Cool. Excellent. Thanks for stopping down and checking us out.
Yeah, for sure. I've been really enjoying the VIP exclusive podcast that you guys give every week. I've only been a member for like a month, I guess, but worth every penny, to be honest.
I appreciate the unsolicited endorsement, and I hope the tens of thousands of people out there who aren't VIP members listening take you up on it. I'd love to have 10,000 new orders tomorrow. That would be wonderful.
Yeah. I got a few things. I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter, but apparently Sasha Banks is injured as well.
10 seconds.
So and it doesn't seem, and from what I read so far, it's an undisclosed injury. So there's not a lot of details out there, but we have another injury in our hands, and now this time with Sasha Banks, which kind of sucks.
That would suck. I haven't seen that, and I don't know if it just broke since we're on the air. Is it from her account that you're hearing this?
This is actually apparently from Wrestling Observer Newsletter.
Oh, okay. Yep. Well, it's probably true then. I mean, they're certainly a reliable source. I don't see anything on her Twitter account, so that's a bummer. I mean, injuries are part of wrestling, but I don't know that we've ever seen injuries this frequent as we're seeing now. So it's bad. But at the same time, I don't think Sasha Banks was going to be in the title match at WrestleMania, and I don't know how many spots that there are at WrestleMania for a showcase singles women's match. So in a way, this might not have been her year anyway. But yeah, I mean, obviously, you definitely don't want that.
Yeah, that's true, and I guess that explains why she didn't show up on Raw, because I think she didn't show up at all, right? I'm pretty sure.
Right.
It was just Becky and Charlotte for the Divas.
Speaking of the Observer real quick, speaking of the Observer real quick, congratulations to Dave Meltzer on his Jim Melby Excellence in Journalism Award that got announced by the National Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame this week. Go ahead.
Oh, and then I guess my last thing is that, and I know a lot of people were angry at this back when it first happened, but looking back on it, do you think that Kevin Owens going over Cena and his feud with Cena would have helped WWE in the bigger picture in terms of big stars? Because with all the injuries that are going on right now, and you know, with the time that Cena took off, and unfortunately the injury that just happened to Cena, I feel like that's what WWE needs. And with this new signing for the New Japan Pro Wrestling, AJ Styles and Shinsuke, and I believe it was Anderson and Doc Gallows.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to that, but just looking back, I'm still a little upset about that, and I'm sure people are still a little upset about, you know, the opportunity of Kevin Owens going over Cena in the end. But that's not more of a question; that's just more of a comment, I guess. And just wanted to see what you think about that.
Sure. Thanks, Christian, and I appreciate your membership too, and the endorsement of it.
Yeah.
I think in retrospect, had Kevin Owens beat John Cena, I think Cena would have lost less than Kevin Owens would have gained. I think that winning the first time but then losing the next two defined his first victory as a bit of a fluke. I almost would have rather had them go 1-1 and then just move on, you know, and instead of, he lost two in a row now. Kevin can talk himself back into a money spot. They just need to give him that chance. I think the last 2 weeks have been good for Kevin Owens. I talk on today's VIP Wade Keller hotline that I do every single day for VIP members. I talk, and you probably haven't had a chance to listen, Christian, but about what I think would really be good for Kevin Owens at WrestleMania. Three scenarios, but one that's new that I got into. So you can check that out later. I think you'll like it. Now, they have not created enough stars. They haven't picked the right stars to get behind who have stayed healthy where they are able to withstand this kind of drop-off in talent. That said, it's tough. I talked to Taz an hour ago about this. It's tough. You never want to see anybody get injured because there's a human being behind that. And I'm sure it's tough on John Cena, but a good time for him in a sense because he can do so many other things that he's exploring now. You know, what are you going to do in your 40s? Well, here's a chance to really dive in and not feel guilty about not being there for WWE as a full-time guy. But that said, now is a chance. If you put the human aspect aside, it's a good thing, I think, for wrestling fans to see a lot of other people get opportunities. And it's up to Vince McMahon and that inner circle and the creative team to make the best of it and not make excuses and not look at the downside of wrestlers' height or physique or pedigree or what they might have said once on an airplane flight that rubbed Stephanie the wrong way or rubbed whoever the wrong way. Like, just get behind some people. Like I told TNA, like I told Dixie Carter, I was impressed with on Tuesday night, they got behind Mike Bennett. Treat the people you have as stars. Treat Finn Balor as a megastar. AJ Styles as a megastar. Nakamura as a megastar. People will buy it if the people you push are talented. Not everybody's going to be rejected like Roman Reigns was or like Batista was when he made his comeback. There are some people out there, their fan base is frothing to cheer and be, quote, entertained by through their work in the ring and on the mic. So I think there's enough people out there where this can turn into a positive. I don't remember your question. Oh, Kevin Owens is your question. I think this can be a good opportunity for Kevin Owens. Whatever excuses they were telling themselves to not give him a big push, they just can't afford to now. He's got to be in a top five match at WrestleMania, and he needs to be protected. And I think it's good for him what's going on right now.
And just that one more thing, just one quick thing at the very end. I don't expect Kevin Owens to regain the IC title, to be honest, which is kind of unfortunate because I felt like his run in the title was pretty short, unfortunately. So who do you expect him to wrestle at WrestleMania? I know a lot of people might be saying Brock Lesnar, which I'm totally in for. But now that, you know, Cena's gone and Undertaker doesn't have that potential match, so maybe Undertaker and Owens? I don't know.
Yes.
It could work.
I'm going to end on this note because I do have to wrap up the show, Christian, but I cover that in the Keller Hotline, so go check it out right now. It was uploaded before I started the show, and I definitely get into that. I get into the possibilities of Kevin Owens and Undertaker. Christian, thanks so much. Really appreciate you finding us and becoming a member and calling the show today. Thank you, everybody. Don't forget, if you're shopping at Amazon, please start at pwtorch.com/Amazon or just click on the Amazon banner under our spotlight box, under our slideshow spotlight box on our website, pwtorch.com. You click on the Amazon link or go to pwtorch.com/Amazon and click on the link there. You land right at the Amazon homepage. But because you started at pwtorch, we get a commission on what you buy. You pay the same money on the same merchandise, but we hit refresh every morning and see a few quarters, a few bucks drop into the tip jar that is our Amazon commission account, and it adds up. You guys have been great about this. December was our best month yet, and we are on pace to top it in January. And I really, really appreciate the support that you're showing us by doing that. It is a really easy way, if you're already shopping at Amazon, to show some support our way. Throw a few quarters, a couple bucks in that tip jar for us for what we do here on the live cast. We really thank you for doing that and encourage more of you to do it. So when you're typing AMA, stop and think of me telling you to instead type pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you for that. Thank you to our guests, Taz, Dixie Carter, and our callers. Great show. Thank you so much, everybody, for your support. We're on pace so far this month to beat last month, and last month was our best ever. We continue to grow. We're now in our TNA's in their 15th year. We're in our 7th year doing this live cast. We've been doing podcasts longer than that. We were doing podcasts before the word podcast was invented. They were called audio shows, VIP audio shows, going back a dozen years, and for VIP members and subscribers. But it's been great bringing this show to you at pwtorchlivecast.com and reaching the widest audience we've ever reached, counting my days on KFAN, counting our VIP audio shows and everything else. We are now, with these shows, reaching our largest audience ever. And I thank you for showing support for how we approach our coverage of wrestling, the whole array of great staff and hosts and co-hosts that we have on our weekly, on our daily schedule, our weekly rotation, Monday through Friday, plus Sundays after pay-per-views. And of course, a big thanks to our guests. I mean, Steve Austin, Jim Ross, Taz, Matt McCarthy, one of the favorite recurring guests, Bob Backlund last year, on and on and on, and it's going to be a great 2016 in that regard. I'm always networking, always looking for great guests to add to the mix who haven't been on the show before, great repeat guests like Dixie and Taz today, and legends and young guys and current big stars. It's really fun scheduling Interview Thursday every week. And, of course, Pat McNeil on Wednesday has a whole array of regulars, too, and first-time guests. If you haven't yet, check out all our shows Monday through Friday here at pwtorchlivecast.com. And if you aren't VIP, the place to go to sign up for VIP to get all of our top-shelf content, plus this show ad-free, and ad-free access to our PW Torch VIP website with all the content that you find on our app or at pwtorch.com, but in a desktop, laptop, tablet, and mobile-friendly environment, totally ad-free, with one-click access to our archives, 28 years of archives of insider information, top-shelf analysis, star ratings, my star ratings and match analysis on virtually every pay-per-view match since 1988, by the way. You can go through our archives, all the Royal Rumbles, all the WrestleMania since then. My pay-per-view reports, match descriptions, star ratings, roundtable reviews from the Torch staff, cover stories on the biggest events, hard-hitting editorials, Torch Talk transcripts before wrestlers did interviews, they were doing Torch Talks. Before wrestlers did podcasts, they were doing Torch Talks, and you gain access to 28 years of those archives, transcripts, and audio format of many of those interviews when you sign up, plus the full run of the Pro Wrestling Focus radio show I hosted on KFAN in the early 90s, the Pro Wrestling Spotlight radio show hosted by John Arezzi that I was a regular guest on from the late 80s through the mid-90s. We got some Attitude Era radio from Jim Valley, Total Chaos Radio. We'll have more of those in 2016 for you. I believe in what we do at the Torch. I believe in our staff, and I want you to be a customer. And the place to go is pwtorch.com/govip. This month is going to be crazy awesome to cover. And I would love for you to be around for all of our VIP content, newsletter, ad for access on the website, and our audio. That does it for me for today. Thank you again, everybody, for joining us. And thanks to our guests. And until tomorrow, we're senior columnist Bruce Mitchell, 25 years and counting, along with Travis Bryant of the East Coast Cast at eastcoastcast.com. Bruce and Travis, live tomorrow, 7 Eastern. Join them for their analysis of a gigantic week in wrestling with so much more to come. Thanks, everybody. This is live.